This is Rewired Radio with Erica Spiegelman, addiction and wellness specialist, motivational speaker, and author, helping individuals, couples, and families regain a sense of control, leading to personal growth, wellness, and a more fulfilling life. Here's Erica Spiegelman.
Welcome, everyone. Well, as we all know, the internet is a very powerful thing in our lives, and it's capable of connecting us with the latest news and with other people all day, every day. But if you're a parent, the internet can mean added stress, from making sure your kids stay focused on homework to being aware of the photos they're sharing and the videos that they're actually watching. It can be hard to keep up with everything that they're taking in. My guest today, Alexandria Bramian, is the content director of Forcefield, a powerful tool and app that helps children and parents collaborate to make being online a safe, informational, and fun experience. She's here today to talk to us about why being a great parent in this internet age means that you need to get a great set of tools in order to keep your kids safe. Alex, welcome to the show. So happy to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, you know, I mean, it's you know, I was reading this morning, interestingly enough, it was an article on my phone. I was looking on the internet at the news that I get NPR. There was an article saying how Facebook, Twitter, they did a poll of how stressful some of these apps are, and Instagram came out to be the most stressful app, and increasing anxiety for kids between the ages of 10 to 18, and then was Snapchat. And so, you know, the world's changing, and it's so amazing that you have an app like this out there that is helping parents cope and also educating their children on how to not let these apps really, you know, stress them out and social media get to them in this way.
It's a really interesting time and a challenging time to be a parent.
Yeah.
You know, the iPad came out in 2010. All kids now, it seems, from the age of 10 on are, you know, have a smartphone device with them, which is really having a very powerful computer in their pocket that can access everything. And so much good comes of all of that content and all of that connectedness. And yet for young kids and for teenagers, if we're parenting them, a whole new set of challenges arises. And a lot of parents who gave their kids phones in good faith so that they can stay in contact with them and know where they are now realizing that the train kind of left the station. And so much feels out of control, so much content that they're exposed to. Parents feel like they don't know what their kids are seeing. They don't know how long they're seeing it. So it's a real challenge parenting now with smartphones.
It's beyond words because it's multi-layered. There's so many different, you know, and there's so many apps and new social media sites developed every day. I think that kids have their finger on the pulse, you know, peer-to-peer. It's normalized in school. They tell them, you know, they tell each other, oh, Snapchat became so big, everyone has Snapchat. Now it's, you know, Snapchat glasses. And, you know, there's always something coming up. How do you keep up with that? And how does Forcefield help parents understand that they need to kind of have their finger on the pulse in a way as well?
Right. If parents are going to imagine that they can stay ahead of their kids and know about the apps before the kids do, and just be one step ahead of them technologically at all times, they're really destined to lose. The kids are going to be not only more sophisticated than we are in actually using the devices a lot of time, but they're constantly talking about this with their friends. So that's why you see things going viral within a period of 24 hours. Pokemon Go had, you know, millions of downloads within the first week.
Right.
So parenting from that position of trying to stay ahead is pretty much impossible. Instead, a more powerful and effective way to keep kids really safe online is to make sure that you have a conversation with them, not a one-time tech talk, but an ongoing conversation about what they're doing online, how long they're spending online, who they're connecting with online. If you can maintain that dialogue with your child, the odds of your kids staying safe go up exponentially. They did a really interesting study that looked at kids who meet with strangers who they met online, whether they decide to meet with them in person or not. They found that teens who had ongoing conversations with their parents about online safety and the dangers of connecting with strangers online were about 5 times less likely to make that decision to meet with a stranger in person.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's accountability. They feel like someone cares. They're not like, you know, on their own and being coerced into something. I could see how that, and you know, and it comes back down, boils down to like, I think the foundation of all healthy relationships, which is communication. So
absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, some parents understandably feel that if they put spyware software on their kids' devices, that it'll keep their kids safer.
Not true.
And really, we found that when, and the research bears this out, that when kids discover, which eventually they will, that there is some sort of spyware software on their device, that what happens is that the trust and that connection between the parent and the child really takes a hit. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we feel we really want to avoid. So for our product, we don't have a spyware mode. It's impossible to hide the fact that force field is installed on their device. And furthermore, we want software where the child is going to be engaged and going to be a stakeholder in their online safety and can participate in the conversation with the parents. So it's not just a top-down software. It's really a transactional, conversational tool that enables parents and kids to stay connected, because that's ultimately how they stay safe.
And so, you know, when Alex and I met at a conference, a really great conference, about the digital self, digital world. And I don't remember exactly who said this on one of the panels we were on, but somebody said, you know, it's good to ask your children what's going on in their digital world, because it's very different from, you know, you pick them up at school, you know, they have a tutor, you know, they're in baseball, you know what they're doing. But somebody said, and which really struck, you know, a nerve with me, was asking them what's going on in the digital world, learning about, you know, sex and learning about, you know, what's going on in between, you know, adults and between adults when they are not adults quite yet, you know, those kind of topics. And if they're confused or they're feeling isolated or they're feeling like their esteem is they're comparing themselves to other kids, you know, that is a digital world in which is very internal that maybe, you know, the parents are not aware of.
Right. And if you think that, you know, according to a huge study by Common Sense Media, teens between 14 and 18 are spending upwards of 7 hours a day on their devices. That's not including schoolwork. So that's
a long
portion of their waking hours where they are living and existing and communicating. So to not have that be part of your just normal daily check-in, what did you do today at school?
Right.
What did you do today online? Now, the truth is, a lot of kids aren't maybe necessarily going to appear to want to share that. But if you dig a little bit deeper, kids really do want someone to be there with them while they're in this online world. They do want some privacy, but they don't want to entirely go it alone. And, you know, you referenced this study that was published on NPR that you read about this morning. It was a fascinating study about Instagram being the one social media app that most negatively impacts tweens and teens on their sense of well-being, their mental health. So they feel more anxiety, more depression, more loneliness on Instagram compared to other social media networks. And it really struck me, and I read about, you know, why this could be. And particularly for women, you know, Instagram is a site where it's parents think it's the friendly photo site, whereas boots on the ground for tweens and teens, it's the assess me purely on a physical level network. So it sort of makes sense. And then the social network that came out as being having the most benefit for children was YouTube. And if you think about that, that while there's, you know, much to be avoided on YouTube, there's so much good. There's, you know, it really focuses on doing and creating and making and all of these empowering things. You know, my kids are young, so I have certain restrictions on YouTube, but I do watch the amazing things that they're doing on YouTube. And it's something that never existed in my childhood, where I see them anytime I have to do something around the house, they say, well, just watch a YouTube video. I had to fix, you know, some plumbing in my house. I had to fix, like, my sink. So we watched a YouTube video, and lo and behold, I was able to fix it. That would have never occurred to me.
Right. Absolutely. I know. It's amazing. It really is. It really is. And that's the way that is shaping their childhood by learning. I mean, it's all learning. You know, I feel like YouTube is such a great learning tool for kids and adults to, you know, my fiance had to fix a part of his car, and he literally looked at what kind of car and how to fix it on YouTube and watched the video as he was fixing it. And I said the same thing. I was like, I cannot believe that you could find this information and that it worked, you know, more than anything. So, I mean, that's what kids are being exposed to firsthand. So I do see the benefits, and like, you know, we talked about before on these panels, there's obviously such great things that come from social media, but also we can't ignore the detrimental things that could be, you know, the messages that could be being placed as narratives in these kids' heads. You know, narratives are such a powerful thing, the messages we receive when we're young. And nowadays, it's not like, you know, when we were younger, or I was younger, I had the adults in my life, and, you know, aunts and uncles and things like that. That's where I got my messages, not from, I didn't have a computer. There was no internet. We never even had phones, you know? So, I mean, it's just even the narratives that are being placed in our minds, like you said, and that article was referring to with Instagram, for instance, Photoshopped. They said a certain amount of pictures, I don't know exactly how many or if they put a percentage, but that are absolutely Photoshopped. So young girls and boys are looking at these pictures of people, and it's not even a reality. And yet those narratives are being placed in their own heads. Like, I'm not good enough. I'm not skinny enough. I don't have a body like this, you know, and that is really, I mean, something where I think is a new conversation.
Absolutely. So in terms of having tweens and teens right now who are on social media, and how do we keep them safe? And how do we keep them connected to the true mentors in their life? As you said, aunts and uncles and adults and coaches and teachers, people at church. How do we keep them connected to that, as opposed to their only level of sort of a guide as being peer-to-peer on social media, often with strangers? When you really read about this, when you really look at it, you really drill down, banning your kids from social network, unless you're going to go to a really extreme level, and in some cases that's absolutely necessary, but for a lot of kids that's just not a feasible way to go about it. It's going to invite a workaround. They're going to hop on a friend's device, and then you've lost all connection to what they're doing.
And trust,
there's There's a huge case for moderating, limiting, I don't even want to say limiting, but just keeping a healthy amount of time on social media. So the parent doesn't really need to know about every single post. Parents, it's more important that they have a sense of, my kids on Facebook or Snapchat or Instagram for an hour or two a day. And after that, it's time to shut it down, sleep, homework, sports, dinner, nothing that's uninterrupted, so that you really preserve digital downtime. Studies will bear this out. I see it in my own family. Less than hovering over them and watching them obsessively, what are they doing online? It's giving them some time online, and then when that time is up, we're doing digital downtime. And you see a lot of the cyberbullying and the really scary stuff is oftentimes associated with what's called heavy users, which is kids who are getting into 3+ hours a day on their social network. Another really interesting piece of research has shown that kids who stay in organized sports have a much lower incidence of cyberbullying. And it goes it speaks to exactly what you were referencing. These are kids who have coaches and real relationships, in-person team, sports team relationships in their life to counteract or balance this world, this anonymous social media world. So these kids have a certain level of immunity to the some of the negative aspects of social media. So it goes back to a lot of common sense. You know, limit the amount of time, keep kids in other activities so that you don't have these lives that are just solely lived online.
Yeah, absolutely. So with Forcefield, can you tell us a little bit how this got launched and how people can access it and what they could learn with it?
Right, yeah. So Forcefield is a non-spyware solution, as I mentioned.
Okay, so it's non-spyware.
Yes, It's an app. Right now we are on iOS devices, shortly to have an Android version. What do is we're at forcefield.me, or you can go to the App Store and look for us, Forcefield for Parents. It's a pretty easy installation process, and what it does is it connects the parent's iPhone, iPad, computer to the child's iPhone, iPad, computer. The parent can, once the install is done, the parent can see at all times what apps are on the kid's devices. If your daughter is at a sleepover and she downloads Snapchat, you'll get an instant alert letting you know that. So you stay connected to what apps they have and when they've downloaded them. We have a feature that allows parents to stay connected to their kids when they upload photos to certain social media sites such as Instagram and Facebook. Parents will get copied on these photos. Again, a very powerful tool. We're not saying that kids can't upload photos. We're saying, kids, when you do this, mom and dad are going to see. It's what they call the grandma test. Would your grandmother be mortified if she knew that you were putting this photo out to the world? A little bit that check, that pause button, maybe I'm not going to do this.
Yeah, that's great.
For younger kids, the really powerful feature that I use for my kids is browsing controls. And this just allows me to lock them into Google Safe Search and YouTube Restricted Mode. That's a huge one because...
What does that mean, YouTube Restricted Mode? They can't see like any X-rated things or violent...
Yes, it's a filter. Yeah. It's just a filter where YouTube is blocking access to certain videos based on that have been flagged for inappropriate content. So a couple things happen. If your kid is in this mode, they can't read or submit comments. And the suggested videos on the right-hand side are filtered for the inappropriate
videos. That's so great. Yeah.
And that's where families get in trouble. Young kids aren't looking for horrifying content. They're stumbling across it. It's happened in our family before, before we had Force Field. And, you know, for 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old kids who are on YouTube looking for the Minecraft videos or the baking tutorials, Even those really innocent searches can yield disturbing returns. So YouTube restricted mode is a great feature with Force Field.
Is that easy to do? Because I know, I mean, I'm asking you such basic questions because I think there are parents out there that are really intimidated still by the internet. Like I have a friend, she doesn't understand how to put these restrictions on. Her child is still young enough, but I keep saying to her, it's not hard. You just have to kind of ask somebody that can walk you through it, you know, but people are intimidated. Yeah,
for sure. For sure. Yeah. So, you know, anyone who uses the YouTube app or the YouTube website, you can put it into restricted mode. The challenge is when kids get a little bit older, they can undo it from the device.
Right.
With Force Field, if you're using our browser, the child can't undo that setting. So they're, you know, safely within the restricted setting.
Right.
Bring a lot of peace of mind. That for a lot of parents, that's our first taste of how dangerous the internet can be, is on YouTube with young kids.
And
then one of the most powerful features of Force Field is called the App Sleeper. And this enables parents to sleep the apps on their kids' devices at any time. They can do it on demand or they can put it on a schedule. And this is just powerful because it goes back to just the importance of limiting the amount of time that kids are on devices. And what I found is when parents are able to have a conversation in a calm, non-triggered moment about how much time their kids are spending online, the kids are going to sign off on the fact that they spend too much time online. A lot of research about that. Kids feel addicted to their devices, too. So the App Sleeper lets parents create schedules for how many hours in the day their kids can access their app.
Oh, that's so fantastic, really. I mean, because having boundaries with kids still is important, you know, and even if you want them to self-regulate, they're kids, you know. And also, like you were just saying, I I'm in the addiction field, and I do have young adults coming into my office saying that they are addicted to their devices, or they're just like they're pulled to them more than they want to be. Like I always ask them, how's your time management going? And are you working out? And are you fitting in meditation? And they always, you know, what I hear from a lot of them is, I don't know where the time goes, you know, and then as we come closer to the truth of the matter, it's I'm spending 3 hours, you know, browsing this. I'm in a they call it a hole of Instagram, the black hole, where they just start looking through pictures and one picture leads to another picture. And before you know it, 45 minutes has passed and you missed your workout class that you're supposed to go to or whatever it was. And it's really getting, you know, it's procrastinating from them moving forward in a lot of ways. So I really do think that this is a conversation for all ages, all of us, is to be mindful of the fact that we can, you know, with even the best intentions, we need to have these boundaries set for ourselves. And we can hopefully have apps like this that will help us and just some self, you know, awareness.
Absolutely. I mean, for parents as well, we could all use the app Sleeper. We're all guilty of it.
Yes.
You know? There's been times where my children have told me, put your phone down, and they have a great point as well. So, you know, the app Sleeper is just this really, it's a common sense feature. And when parents realize that this, the ability exists to shut down the app, it's kind of like they regain a little bit of their life. You know, they think, oh my gosh, dinner doesn't have to be a constant battle. We can just turn it off and have an actual meal where we're talking. So, you know, that's a huge feature for us, and it just can, it has the potential to bring a lot of valuable time back into people's families.
Oh, I feel like it's so helpful and such a wonderful tool. I wish there, you know, I wish adults could do this as much as we could do it for our kids. I think it's also great for adults to kind of look within themselves and try to create more time and space for some self-care and solitude and the other things that keep us balanced, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, there's, I have the rabbit hole with, you know, news. I read news obsessively. And I'm missing out on moments that I should be tending to as well. I'm guilty of it as well.
Right. Absolutely. I think, well, I think the point of all of this is to balance ourselves and be mindful of our what we're taking in, what kind of messages we're taking in. And that's what I really try to tell kids too, is that, you know, there's a lot of things in life that we don't have control over, but we do have control over what kind of content we are taking in. So if you're feeling anxious all the time or stressed out or very depressed because of the images or the things you're taking in, turn to somebody, ask for help, talk to your mom or dad, talk to a counselor at school, because I feel like sometimes they're not even conscious of why they're upset. You know, I'm
Absolutely.
Seeing that as well.
Absolutely.
They're confused.
And looking on Facebook, I know from my own experience for a few hours and seeing everyone so quote unquote perfectly happy can be very difficult. You know, it can, if I'm feeling down, I'm probably going to feel more down after that.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of the conversation, I think parents are so scared because it's technology and we don't understand where's settings and what's my iTunes password and all of it. We're all overwhelmed, you know, but I think a lot of the conversation goes back to what you have said, which is balance. We know that mealtime is important. We know that exercise is important. We know that sleep is incredibly important. And none of that has changed since the advent of the smartphone. And instead of being terrified of the next app that's going to, you know, put our kids in incredible danger, I think if we can pull back and just have a real basic approach, which is limit the amount of time, definitely filter out the disturbing content for young kids, and just not make it too complicated, I think that that can provide tremendous relief to parents and kids.
And with Forcefield, do you guys have a community? I think I believe you have a blog, right? You have a blog that's helping parents connect with one another. Don't you think that's important, is for the parents and to so they could relate and don't feel alone and they have other parents to talk to?
Absolutely.
How important is that? Yeah,
absolutely. It is, you know, we're sort of on the leading edge of parenting. You know, a lot of us don't know exactly what we're doing. And you see that on our Facebook page. Parents start talking to one another. You know, what's the best way to prevent this from happening? Has anybody figured out how to, you know, see what our kids are doing on Snapchat? Parents are very concerned, and they do want to connect with one another. So our blog is, you know, we try and really give all of this information to parents on a consistent basis of what's out there. You know, really, you know, so the news this week is really keep an eye on Instagram.
Right.
You know, it's not as innocuous as it appears. It can be really challenging to your kid's mental health. So we're trying to keep this conversation going so that parents are constantly informed of the importance of staying connected to their kids' online activity.
Yeah, and like you said too, I think for a while people have these intentions, like they're inspiring themselves by the images they take in, or you know, oh, I want to connect with so and so, I want to learn more about skateboarding or surfing or you know something that they're into, and then before you know it, they're you know it becomes something other than that. So it's just great to have these conversations and make sure that they feel like their confidence and their esteem is something that is you know at a good place at all times.
Absolutely.
Or as best as we can. Oh my gosh, so much to talk about. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. So Alex, we could tell our audience one more time that they could find more information at forcefield.me, forcefield.me, correct?
Correct. And they can find our app in the App Store, Forcefield for Parent Device.
Sealed for Parent Device, okay.
Forcefield for Parent.
Oh, okay, got it. Forcefield. Yep. I'm sorry, I didn't know what you said. Perfect. So Forcefield for Parents, and thank you for being with us. Love to have you back to talk about this more. And if anyone needs to get a hold of Alex, you could find her at forcefield.me. You're listening
to
Rewired.
Thank you so much. Appreciate talking about it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for shedding light on this really important topic. You're listening to Rewired Radio on Radio MD. I'm Erica Spiegelman. Thank you all for joining us today, and stay well.